Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and our conversation continues with Dr. David Blumenthal, National Coordinator for Health Information Technology within the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Dr. Blumenthal, would you talk to us about your inter- and intra-agency collaboration with other key federal agencies such as the Veterans Affairs or CMS or DOD?
Well, the National Coordinator is called the National Coordinator for a reason, and one of the explicit roles I have is to provide coordination across the federal government on the information technology agenda. And in that context, we work closely with the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. We do work with the VA. We do work with the DOD. We work with the Federal Communications Commission. We've worked some with the Commerce Department and the Agriculture Department. One of the, in terms of the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, we've worked very closely with them on the regulation defining meaningful use. In terms of the DOD and Veterans Administration, we've worked with them on creating the Nationwide Health Information Network, which they want to use to communicate across their organizations, their far-flung organizations, to move the health information around the country and within their systems, and also to move it between themselves, the VA and the DOD. With all of those, and with commerce and agriculture, we've tried to work to coordinate some of our efforts to improve the healthcare in specific communities using health information technology. And the DOD and VA have been trying to create a virtual lifetime electronic record for active service and former service persons. And the Nationwide Health Information Network is vital to that because it, again, forms the way in which they could move information back and forth and around about those service persons, current or former.
Dr. Blumenthal, poor quality care translates into higher costs. According to a recent Commonwealth Fund report, chronic disease is a growing problem in the U.S., with more than 157 million Americans having at least one chronic condition by the year 2020. And looking ahead, how does the adoption of health IT enable us to move beyond simply managing diseases to preventing them and ultimately to a predictive care model?
One of the powerful capabilities of electronic records is the built-in intelligence that they have, and especially to do things that should happen routinely but don't if they're left to human memory and human vigilance. And so just like your alarm clock is pretty good at waking you up, the electronic health record is pretty good at reminding you if you need to do a preventive test for a patient. It's not only good at reminding you, but it can remind the patient as well directly. It can generate an email to a patient saying, time for your mammogram, time for your colonoscopy, time to get your blood pressure checked, all kinds of things. And it can actually send it to their mobile phone or their website. There are lots of things it can do. So getting people to comply with preventive testing, screening for illness, is something that electronic records could do very well. The other thing they can do very well is get physicians to be more proactive in managing illnesses. So traditionally, physicians wait for patients to come to them. And when the patient shows up, they look at their record, they check on their diabetes, check on their blood pressure, their heart disease, the arthritis, whatever the chronic illness is. In between those visits, may happen once a year, may happen three times a year, it's the patient that's worrying about their problem, not the physician for the most part. Physicians traditionally have been taught the ill come and seek your help and you respond, but otherwise you're working on other ill people. Well, with an electronic health record, it's possible for the record to organize the information around a group of patients that have an illness. So let's say you wanted to do better at managing all your blood pressure patients or all your asthma patients. Well, you'd want to know they were on the right medicines. You'd want to know that their blood pressure was under control or their asthma was under control. And your computer can do that for you, can generate lists of patients and tell you how they're doing. And you can tie that to an outreach system. So you could say, please send a message to all my patients whose last blood pressure was elevated when I saw them, or it was elevated when they saw the dermatologist, because you can go look for that information, and have them make an appointment to come in and see me. That's never been done before. We've never used doctors to proactively control chronic illness that way before. It certainly doesn't have to be a doctor. It could be their nurse. It could be a physician assistant, could be lots of things. So doing population health to manage chronic illness is a great thing for the electronic health record to take on.
I'd like to transition to the future. You've been a leader in healthcare for some time now. With all of the talk about healthcare, healthcare reform, would you share with us your vision of healthcare in the future? And what are some of the key insights you'd like folks to walk away with from today's conversation?
Well, I think that the future of the healthcare system is one of much more seamless integration of care, facilitated by better information. I think there's going to be much more care done in the home. I think patients are going to do much more care for themselves. Physicians and other healthcare professionals are going to work together in teams united by information systems. And there's going to be much more of a partnership between physicians and other health professionals and patients, so that the kind of thing I just described, where care is managed in between visits, done easily, electronically, with information flowing back and forth, so that routine things don't take a lot of effort and everyone can concentrate on the things that aren't routine. I see that as a critical enabler. I think that quality will be much higher. I think efficiency will be much higher. And I think that medicine will be able to do more and more for people over time. You know, I think the American public assumes that most physicians and most hospitals and most nurses are using computers to help them manage patients. So I don't think we have a lot of work to do to convince the average person that this is a good thing. I think we have a lot of work to do to convince the average person that we deserve to be stewards of their information. That is, the healthcare system deserves to be steward, that we've come up with security systems and privacy systems that aren't going to harm them. So I guess what I hope is that people will be patient with us while we work on those things and give us the opportunity to create some of these systems for them that they can benefit from. With respect to providers of care, nurses, doctors, hospitals, I think I would say to them, this is inevitable. It's not easy, but it's inevitable. It's doable. It's not like defying the laws of physics. You know, it's happened in other countries that physicians and nurses are using electronic health records and using them even to their advantage. Almost no physician who's had an electronic record would ever give it up. And furthermore, I think that it is going to be an essential feature of professionalism to use an electronic health record. No one expects the federal government, no health professional expects the federal government to buy their stethoscope for them. I think an electronic health record or its equivalent is just as essential to good practice as a stethoscope or a blood pressure cuff. And those things were novel at one time. 50 years, they won't, the electronic health records or the equivalent 50 years from now, whatever it is, will be so integrated into medicine that it won't be, people will give it not a second thought. And I think we need doctors and hospitals and nurses now to show leadership and move us in that direction, knowing that it won't be easy, but knowing that it's a professional responsibility to do that.
You've had a very interesting and successful career in both medicine and as a public servant and as an educator. What advice would you give someone thinking about a career in medicine, education, public service, or ideally all three?
Well, one of the interesting things about growing to a certain age in a field is that you begin to see a lot of young people come along. And one of the encouraging things for me is to see the numbers of young people who are interested in giving back to society and being public servants or doing work that is beneficial to large numbers of people. And I find that extremely encouraging. I also see that many of them are getting advanced training to prepare them for that. So I do think that's an important thing to do. I don't think that just having a BA or having a master's degree or just even a medical degree is sufficient to be to excel in public service in a technical area. So I think that if you're a physician or a nurse or a medical technician and you want to work, physical therapist, you want to work in the public sector, it's helpful to get some training in public policy, public health, or an MBA of the right type. And then I think what's needed is persistence and practice, trying things and staying with it. life is long, and you're not going to necessarily get your dream job the first time you're out in the market. But an accumulation of experience and of skills can make that possible. Probably the thing I would say most clearly, though, is that whatever young people do, they have to enjoy what they go to work doing every day. That if you're doing things on a day-to-day basis you don't enjoy, you're not likely to be good at them. And the faster you learn what you enjoy, the more contented and successful you'll be.
Wonderful advice. I want to thank you for joining us today, but more importantly, I'd like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dr. David Blumenthal, National Coordinator for Health IT within the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.